near the diagram, the space between two thought and the awareness that was watching the space between these two
thoughts. No. I didn't say that, sorry. Probably there is some wrong communication. When there is something watching that space, then that space becomes an object. And the watcher becomes a thought.
But in the first place, because I have a bit of trouble with this.
I'm glad you have.
I've got in a, you know, rather calm state at times where I have practically no thought that arises within. Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I ask you if that was the state of indifference.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, if I use a mantra, then I've got thoughts that pops up from everywhere.
Sure.
Even within the space of the mantra.
Yes, quite right. Quite right. Quite right.
But before I had an answer.
I'm not sure.
Well, I didn't recognize it.
Thank you very much. Before also there are thoughts, but one doesn't recognize. You know, did you hear the traffic noise for the past 5 minutes? Now, I'll tell you what, something. Supposing you are especially some sort of music or something like that, you know, something which you want, which we want to record. And David says the recording quality must be absolutely perfect. And you are highly inspired, you are going to chant or sing or... And then you see, my God, why do all these drivers drive only now? They weren't driving half an hour ago. They were driving half an hour ago. But you didn't notice because it was not important. Now that we are only talking, it's not important at all whether there should be traffic noise or no traffic noise. But when we want to record something, some delicate music or some chanting, and you want the record to be perfect and so absolutely no background noise, it is at that time even this much of whispering noise is excruciatingly painful. So, normally we don't care. I'm absolutely peaceful now. I'm not. Because I have not introduced into that mind, at that point, something of value, something which I would love to cherish, something with which I would like to be alone in privacy. And when I cherish that, that is the mantra. When the mantra is introduced, you want to be alone with that mantra. You want to enjoy that mantra. You want to enjoy its company. You don't want it to be disturbed. And then every little disturbance is terrible, 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 terrible. The mind is always disturbed. The mind knows only two states, the tamasic and the rajasic states. It needs the intervention of something else, the pure consciousness, or Vedanta calls it witness consciousness, whatever it is. It needs the intervention of that, or God, or Atma, or doesn't matter what you call, Christ consciousness, enlightenment, Buddha. We have to appeal to that, and that comes in. When that comes in, both these disappear. Tamas and Rajas both disappear, or at least are submerged. Krishna would not accept the disappearance of Rajas and Tamas. He says, as long as you are alive, they are there. But there is preponderance of Rajas and Tamas now. When that witness consciousness blesses us, then this Rajas and Tamas are submerged and Sattva prevails. When Sattva prevails, mind becomes no mind.
That witness consciousness you're talking about, is that the consciousness between two thoughts?
Yes, quite right.
Is it? Or is it a...
Quite right. It is the consciousness
which is aware.
We don't want, you see, there.
Yeah, because when I said before it, that that was the experience of, you know, of these thoughts, the awareness, I was becoming aware of the thought, is that awareness that we are putting in there,
Was
the space between two thoughts.
This is merely a matter of...
The space between two thoughts is a void, Eric.
This is more a question of semantics and metaphysics. You wouldn't want witness consciousness to be, or Brahman or Atman, to be brought into a discussion as its subject. Then that becomes an object. Witness consciousness cannot be seen, cannot be experienced, cannot be in the object of experience. And so you take a circuitous route, slightly circuitous route. That is, when the witness consciousness manifests itself and showers its blessings, when God manifests himself and showers his blessings, the mind loses its rajas and tamas and becomes sattva. When the mind becomes sattva, which means the mind is absolutely pure and transparent, the mind is no longer mind. And what remains at that point is obviously the witness consciousness or Atma. But one doesn't want to say that. Then you bring it into a segment. You make it look as though the Atma is there only then. It will not be later. No, the Atma is there all the time. So we get into semantic difficulties. And therefore, the question is no. It is not the witness consciousness, but it is the sattva, or the mind in its pure state, or the awareness which is pure, choiceless. Or the mind completely and totally rid of rajas and sattva. But in fact, when the mind has become totally sattva, it is no mind. And in the mind, when there is no mind, there is nothing else. It's Atman only. But metaphysically, it's a delicate thing.
Does it make any difference what type of manpower you will use? Oh, no, none at all. If you use a manpower of the Devi, Bija type, which is a more of a outflowing mentor, not a mentor that takes you in.
I'm not sure that statement is absolutely correct.
Because I'm telling you something, if I got these thoughts, if I play a bit of didgeridoo, you know, but, you know, in small portion, which would be the same length, for instance, the mantra, then all thoughts disappear again. But if I repeat the mantra, all thoughts pops up from everywhere.
So, one must use the mantra, knowing how to use it. Or, let's say, I'm not saying that this is true in your case. It is possible that while using a mantra, the mind is conditioned to expect some phenomenon to happen. Either the devi will come and appear in front of me or something like that. Then your awareness keeps flowing outward.
Yeah, the devi may have more of
exteriorization. No, sir. I'm not sure. I'm still, I also repeat some devi mantras, but I'm not sure at all that that must be the case. You can, if you like, use a mantra to exteriorize your consciousness. You can, if you like, use the same mantra to interiorize your consciousness. Why not? The mantra does not necessarily have an extrovert or introvert nature. Just as it is not necessary that Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram must be shouted and sung. You can repeat Om Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Om Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Or you can sing. In the same way, even the Devi Bija Mantras can be repeated in such a way that the mind is extroverted and can be repeated in such a way that the mind is introverted. For instance, if along with that you are concentrating upon a yantra which is placed outside, sure, the eyes have to see that and so on, and there is extroversion of the mind. But if you transpose the same yantra onto yourself, then that problem is solved. If you are looking at a picture or something like that, the mind is naturally extroverted. But that is not an obligatory part of the mantra. It's not the fault of the mantra. You can use it any way you like. So, if the meditator, using these bija mantras, concentrates the attention upon himself, something very beautiful happens. As a matter of fact, one more thing also can be done, though it's not given in any text. Take a simple bija combination like Aim, Hrim, Shrim, or Aim, Klim, Sau. As you repeat the mantra, it's possible for you, on the basis of the Kundalini chakras and the sound associated with the petals of the Kundalini chakras, and let the mind dwell on them. Aim is here, Hrim is here, Klim is here. It's possible. That it depends entirely upon the sadhaka.
Experience I have with the mantra, which is probably the only experience that's very, is that just that sort of recognition that you haven't gone anywhere, like you go off onto a thought and you come back to your own nausea or whatever you're saying, and then nothing's happening, you know, I think that you've no nothing, nowhere, and do you know where you go off?
Yes.
I thought there's some idea that there's been some space, but then there's this same old thought going on, and you come back to it, which
which is good. Which is good. Which is good. Which is good. It's not necessary to go off. But when you observe how this mantra rhythm goes on, it's very beautiful. From where does this arise? It's a funny sound. Where does it arise? And what happens to it when the mantra is not there? Where does this mantra sound arise? And what happens to it when the mantra is not there?
The sound's always there, whether it's saying the
mantra. It begins to think of something else. So, the mantra is supposed to dispose of the other thoughts. Right, and now I am using the mantra. I have disposed of the other thoughts. And then, when this mantra also is abandoned, what happens? The other thoughts come in.
Not really. At times, you know, you can become part of the mantra. And when you repeat the mantra mentally, you can hear the mantra. But eventually the mantra fades slowly away.
Very good, sir.
And you are left with an awareness.
Very good. But either it is awareness or lethargy. There again, there is a big risk. Either it is awareness.
It is a touchy starting in.
Yeah, right. It's very, very tricky. And it's not just you and me who have this problem. I read in the Gospel of Ramakrishna that even after having had samadhi a dozen times and seen Kali face to face, even then, he says, sometimes my meditation is good, sometimes meditation is not so good. So, we can be excused, Eric.
Perhaps it depended on whether you've been eating fish or not.
Yeah, something like that.
When you talk about you have a mantra of repeating and you create that duality of one, I'm listening to the mantra, and two,
I'm not creating it. It is there.
Well, that was the problem. It seemed that I had to sort of artificially create.
No. It is there. Once again, as we were talking about this road noise, traffic noise, it is there even now, but you don't notice it. Because the fact that I am mentally repeating the mantra is appreciated only when I hear it. Is that right? How do I know that I have been repeating my mantra mentally? I am talking to you. I don't hear it. So, while I was talking to you for these 15-20 minutes, I was not aware at all that I was also repeating the mantra. Maybe it's going on. But, when I sit down and say I am going to repeat the mantra mentally, how do I know I am repeating the mantra? Because I hear it. So, when you repeat the mantra mentally, this dichotomy is inevitably there. But in the case of most of us, we are not even aware of that. We hear the mantra, we say, all right, that's marvelous. Without realizing that there is a paradox involved in that.
Why is there a paradox involved in that?
For the simple reason that you can't answer this question. Are you repeating the mantra or are you hearing the mantra? How can you be both?
You can hear yourself now and you sound the words.
Yeah, that's because the words come out of my mouth and enter my ear. That's only because the words come out of my mouth and enter the eardrum.
So it all happens in you physically. Why can't we take for granted that it all happens mentally? Just like you've got an ear and a mouth.
Pardon?
Just like you've got an ear and a mouth physically.
So mentally I've also got a mental ear and a mental mouth?
We hear it, and we say it.
Aye, that's it. It seems to be a strange phenomenon. Because once...
We see them in our minds, Swamiji.
Precisely, my dear. Precisely, my dear. That's the point. Once you get that cleared, then everything is cleared. Every experience within oneself, the experience of sorrow, the experience of fear, the experience of anxiety, the experience of jealousy, all these arise in that dichotomy. I can become aware that I am excited. I am aware I am jealous. I am aware I am this. I am afraid. That is, fear being an experience experienced by me. So this dichotomy plagues our lives. If I get at it here, in the mantra, hearing and repeating, and I inquire into it without taking it for granted, that is the bugbear of the yogis. The moment you take it for granted, that just as I can talk and hear at the same time, maybe there is a speaker and a hearer on the mental plane also, then you have ruined it, because you have introduced a speculation, it's only an assumption, you don't know what the truth is, you have ruined the whole thing. If that is so, let me hear it, let me see. If that is so, again, I would also demand that such a dichotomy exists when I am fast asleep. Why shouldn't I hear my own snoring? When I am fast asleep, I hear myself snoring sometimes, just when I am about to wake up. But why shouldn't I hear myself snoring when I am fast asleep? Or why shouldn't I become aware that I am fast asleep? Just as I can become aware I am angry, I can become aware I am jealous, I can become aware I am frightened. Why shouldn't I be aware that I am fast asleep? Absolutely, there are no dreams and no thoughts. Why not? If according to you, there are two faculties, one the object of the other, within me, why shouldn't I experience sleep? That's it. Without taking anything for granted, one inquires into it. Then what Andre said happens, that is, you become the mantra. At that time the mantra drops away. Drops away is a funny word because it doesn't drop away. Merely the feeling that I am repeating the mantra is not there. But you are not asleep. Careful, you may be asleep. And there is awareness. In our case, we are extremely blessed if that thing lasts for 3-4 seconds. It's blissful, most beautiful. They say that unless you are a very advanced yogi, you'll probably have it for 20 seconds before the next merry-go-round starts.
Is this one of the reasons of why we're going for tapas and austerity and simplicity of life, at least to take it back to the point where the whole world's happening in you, at least? I mean, the mess, the confusion,
yes, correct.
I haven't got very much to do with
anyone
else.
Correct. That's why they seclude themselves, isolate themselves from society. Which is good. If it can be sensibly done, it's very good.
If occasionally that sort of awareness of the split arises spontaneously in meditation, then it seems that quite often you're trying to make it happen after that, and it never happens again.
No. You know, you don't have to try to make it happen. It is there, you become aware of it. No, you can always become aware of it, if you want to.
I find it, a lot of the time, just during the day, when I'm doing things or thinking things or saying things, I'm much more aware of
yes, that is
listening to my own...
Sure, mantra.
No, my
or
own
thoughts.
Words or thoughts, than when I'm sitting with
that,
my mantra.
That is suspicious.
That's a different type of awareness.
Then it's
That is suspicious. Whether the mind is becoming duller and duller and duller, or whether it is proceeding in the right direction. It's not easy. That problem is not easy at all. It's not laughing matter. It's not easy at all. Because, I repeat, the mind is accustomed only to these two states. Either it is violently disturbed or fall asleep. Dreaming meaning is partly sleeping, partly mental activity, isn't it? So, these are the only two states that the mind is accustomed to. If you slap it from there, it falls down there. If you slap it from there, it falls down here. If you wake it up, it starts a million thoughts. If you slap it and push it there, it becomes duller and duller and duller and duller. You think, I am going to deep meditation now. One little nod. And then the funny thing is, if you are physically and mentally not fatigued, one little nod, some sound I heard, there's a printing machine. Printing machine going on. This prayer book is being printed. Prayer songs, nice songs.
All these songs.
Joe sings this nicely. And that day. The videotape has started. But it seems to need one nod. That's another fantastic thing in the case of this mind. One little nod we seem to need. That is, we don't pass straight from the waking to the dreaming. Between that waking and dreaming, there is one little moment of unconsciousness.
Yes, really hard, you can't get. Because when I've been meditating like that, you can try to keep watch for it, and then you just all of a sudden all you feel is a boom like that.
It's just an extraordinarily beautiful thing. It's a, did you go to Miral? Did you go to what is this thing? Disneyland?
No.
Oh, must. You must, at least for the sake of some of these. There are a few nice features in it, like going into a molecule, an atomic structure, and going to something else. In the case of all these, or there is a ghost house, haunted house. In the case of all these, where they want to sort of suck you into the scene, they have planned it very beautifully. They disorient you first, completely disorient you. You are put on a sort of moving chair, and after the first half a minute, suddenly there is complete total darkness. I don't know how they made it. A tunnel, little tunnel. And that lasts only for about half a minute. But it is total darkness. You and I are sitting together on the same chair or into this haunted house. So that the other reality is completely wiped out for the time being through this tunnel. And that is what happens to us between waking and any of these sleep states, dreaming or sleep. There's a little tunnel. You pass through that, you are forgotten. Everything is forgotten. And a new world arises. That's what happens when you die. That's what happens when you are born. Same thing. Yes, that is, when you think that the mind is getting calmer and calmer and calmer, and you can't even become really aware that there is a dichotomy inside between the one who repeats the mantra and the one who hears it, it is possible that the dichotomy is, or the gap is getting narrower and narrower, possible. Then also you won't notice it. It's also possible that you are falling asleep. One cannot be sure at all.
But when you're becoming aware of a little bit of that dichotomy during the day, like when you're doing things around the place,
that only shows that you are practicing it nicely. It's good. The practice is good.
How many times should you be successful in with your mantra, when you meditate? Once a week?
Once a night? Guaranteed.
No guarantee at all. Absolutely no guarantee. There is no regularity about it, there is nothing. I have tried all sorts of things.
Because the benefit of it lasted about 4 to 5 days after you really had it.
Not necessarily. It can last for quite a long time, and then if it is repeated in the interim, then it can almost be continuous. That's the right thing. That is, whether all that we are talking about is reality or mere imagination and or dullness or sleep is seen in the change that such an experience brings about in the mind. Mm-hmm. Are you becoming more calmer, patient? And also when the next time you lose your temper, are you becoming aware of it immediately? Just as the other dichotomy was noticed immediately. When you are about to lose your temper, are you able to see it? Aha, it's coming now. Or an anxiety or jealousy, whatever be the emotion, the emotional experience. If that has been successful, even for 20 seconds, it leaves such a tremendous mark on the mind
and the body as well.
And the body, that the next time something happens, it says, ha ha, here. That's it. I suppose that's the only way we can tell, if you want to tell. Hari Om.